Good morning from Studio 1A in the new KUTX studios. Good morning to our audience today. Good to have y'all here. I'm Jody Denberg, and it is truly a thrill and a privilege to have our guest with us this morning, who probably countless times has been called a Renaissance man, but that's because he expresses himself so well in so many ways, whether it's in theater or sculpting or painting or video. But it's been a long time since he's made a record, and we're going to find out why, and we're going to hear some new music as well. Terry Allen is at the Cactus Cafe tonight. The show is sold out. There may be a few tickets left at the door. He has a great band with him. Richard Bowden's got his mandolin on, and Buck has got his accordion, and Brian Standifer has his cello. Please welcome to KUTX, Mr. Terry Allen.
Thanks, Jody. I might go down San Diego, or maybe on down to Mexico. Yeah, fool around some Rosarita, or further down, fool around some more. Then maybe I'll go to the bottom of the world. Maybe I'll go to the bottom of the world. I might even go to funky Albuquerque, or further south to El Paso, even more down, hang with some mummies deep in the tunnels of Guanajuato. Then maybe I'll go to the bottom of the world. Yeah, maybe I'll go to the bottom of the world. In Mexico, I might meet up with Ava Gardner, I take that angel to the picture show. Then maybe I'll go to the bottom of the world. Yeah, maybe I'll go bottom of the world. I might dance in a fountain in sweet Oaxaca, I drink mezcal in the Zocalo, I read some awful things about Cuernavaca. Sounds like a place to go. Then maybe I'll go bottom of the world. Maybe I'll go to the bottom of the world. Yeah, might even go to San Diego, or maybe on down to Mexico. I'll fool around some Rosarita, further down, fool around some more. Maybe I'll go.
Thank you.
You're listening to Terry Allen live on KUTX, and that song is Bottom of the World. Morning, Terry.
Good morning. How are you doing, Jody?
I'm a little cold, but I'm all right.
It is. It's colder than hell in here.
I think it's the David Letterman show or something. So I'm listening to that song, Bottom of the World, and I'm feeling full circle because maybe it was your first record, but the first one I ever heard was Juarez.
Yeah,
and
it's the first one.
So does Mexico hold some real attraction for you? Obviously.
Yeah, I think it's there, you know. I think it was always that from the time I was a kid, every movie that you ever saw, every story about freedom, everything about getting away from what was shackling you, crossing that line, and everything was different, you know, which we all know is a total lie, but... Anyway, I think it's that romance of Mexico probably that's instilled in me from the time I was a kid.
And Bottom of the World is the name of the new album?
Yeah, it's the title track.
And what are we talking, 13 or 14 years since Salivation, your last one?
Yeah, 99, yeah. I think it was. But I haven't been in a coma since then. You know?
I didn't figure you had. I figured you'd been busy doing a million billion other things, but
well, maybe I have been in a coma. Come to think of it.
Well, was there something that sparked you to come back to sharing your songs with everybody?
Well, I've been doing a lot of different projects over this period of time, a lot of theater pieces and a lot of music that was kind of in the theater pieces. And this is the first record I really felt like this group of songs needed to be like a record. So I've never felt a necessity to have to knock out a record every year or 2 years or whatever. And I've always kind of balked at someone pushing that on me, you know, or in pretty much anything else as far as what you have to do. But... this group of songs and group of people, it just kind of fell together. And we cut it over a period of time, but we almost cut it in the exact order that it ended up on the record. So it's really kind of like one thing. I think of it as one thing, but I think of every record that you make as really being one thing with parts or whatever. But this is especially so, I think.
And there are still those of us who actually listen to music in that fashion.
Yeah.
As a record, as an album of work.
Yeah, and I'm doing an LP with this too. So it was the first time I got to actually think about side one and side two again, you know? And So this record kind of, in a way, it goes to a middle point and then has a transition and goes to part two. And so it kind of was perfect for an LP.
The compilation that came out in between Salivation and Bottom of the World, The Best of the Sugar Hill Years, did you feel like that was some sort of a summation or a line that was drawn, or was it just...
No, they just did a compilation. They wanted to put out a compilation, and they pretty much, they asked me, I didn't really have a lot to do with it other than just tell them certain songs I didn't think would work with those songs, but it was just what it was. It was a record company compilation.
So now that you're making music again, is that what, or I should say in this form, because as you said, you've been making music for theater and the like. Yeah. Will you be doing a lot of work on the road this year and you know, making this music for people?
Well, I've got several projects that I'm working on, and I've never traveled extensively on the road musically. I'll do 2-3 weeks or whatever, but I want to run this one a little bit. I want to go to California and the West Coast, and would like to do the East Coast. But I don't have a burning desire to kill myself. You know, I'd rather take that time and maybe write some more songs or whatever.
You mentioned California. We all know you as a West Texan. But you left for California pretty early in your life, didn't you?
Pretty much as soon as I could get a driver's license. You know?
Why was that? Yeah.
I think it was because I was raised in Lubbock. And I think, too, I think I was that classic example of somebody taking their hometown and using it as an excuse to propel myself out of there and go to the world, see the world.
Well, we still think of you as a Texan, and you have family here, even though you live in New Mexico for a long, long time with Joe Harvey. But I guess we can't take the Texas out of you anyway.
No, I'm actually Chinese.
I was thinking about that version of the national anthem you did that was part Vietnamese, I think, years ago.
Well.
But anyway, I digress. Terry Allen is our guest today in Studio 1A on KUTX. And what's the next song you have for us?
We're going to do a song called Emergency Human Blood Courier.
Of course you are.
Last light stumbles and falls off the wall, lands on the floor, crawls down the hall, slips under the door to the emergency room, where the last heart is beating, an old Mexican tune. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 yeah. Emergency human blood courier headed south down to Mexico, where there's been a whole lot of bleeding and gonna be a whole lot more. Emergency human blood courier in a vehicle red as nails, hauling blood down to the borderlines where all systems seem to have failed. Says a sign on the side of the door, of bringing blood down to the bleeding from the emergency human blood store. Emergency human blood courier, an old beat up Detroit Dodge Dart, bringing bottles of blood for the bleeding, breaking out on the road in the dark. Jesus behind the wheel, or wearing a blood, sweat, and tears t-shirt? Is that blood, sweat, and tears there for real? Emergency human blood courier, chasing the cries in the night. Someone's bleeding to death in Nogales, in Juarez, someone receives the last rites. Thank you. guy. Emergency human blood courier, every man, woman, boy, and girl. Emergency human blood courier, Mexico, it's the story of the world. Sally Allen.
Sally Allen.
Sally always gives me chills, boy, when she's singing on that.
Beautiful. She didn't need a microphone either, really.
No.
Thank you, Sally. That was Terry Allen and his band live on KUTX, and they're playing the Cactus tonight, and Terry has his first album since 1999 coming out, Bottom of the World. I wanted to ask you about your other pursuits and try and do it in a way that you haven't been asked a bazillion times, but, you know, because you're an artist in so many facets. You mentioned theater work, but there's the sculpting and the painting and installations, and a lot of people can be Renaissance men, but you do it so well. You know, your stuff is in museums and private collections at MoMA in New York City and Paris and Australia. Is the feeling you get when you complete any kind of art a similar feeling as maybe when you finish a song, a good feeling that's why you make art?
Yeah, I think you make it really to see what it's going to be, you know, and whether it's a song, whether it's a picture, whatever, but I think there's some kind of necessity in you, first of all, to make something, but then for you to see what that thing is going to be. And I think it's always a mystery when you start, anyway, whether you start a song, whether you start a picture or whatever that you're doing. And I've always thought of them as it's one thing, because they inform each other so much to me that I've just never, you know, made a distinction really between the two. But I think that impulse... I remember when I was a little kid, I used to hate going to school, getting up early and going to school. But one of the things I thought about that made kind of helped me get up was a lead pencil touching a paper, you know, just that touch. And so there was something there even then. I don't know really what it is, but there was that urge to make some kind of a mark or whatever. And I think that's the most basic kind of human need in a way to make a mark.
So, yeah, to make a mark. So you were not daunted by the metaphorical blank canvas. You're motivated by it. You know, made you
well,
wanna...
I think it's both, you know. I think it always, and it doesn't change. It's no different now than to face a blank and try to make something that wasn't there before. It's no less scary, no less exciting, no less than it was, when I was younger. And you'd think you'd learn, you know, that how to do it. But I think you're always trying to learn how to do it. I think when you think you know how to do it, you just have a bunch of habits that you're trying to get through. But it's really once you get through your own habits into some zone where the unknown, the mystery. I think that's where songs happen. The best songs, where the best pictures, the best everything kind of happens there.
And most of us like validation for our work, And when you play a song and people applaud, you get an instant validation in this realm.
Yeah.
But what about when you have something in a museum or an art, a piece of art in a public place, like I think at the University of California, San Diego, there's a public work of yours.
Yeah.
Do you ever want to kind of go and watch people looking at your stuff and wonder what
they're seen a lot of pieces after I put them up. I've kind of move on. I've seen a few of them, but it's not something that I have a huge urge to do. But what you're talking about, like Bucca, my son's a musician who's here, and my other son, Bale, is an artist. And there was a period when Bale was getting frustrated because more people would see Bucca on a weekend playing music than ever saw what he did in like 2 or 3 years, you know. And that is kind of the nature of it, the kind of inverted, extroverted nature of making art and making music. So, and I think we've talked about that, and I think it's important that you're aware of those kind of distinctions, you know, because most artists, I don't know how they ever make a movie about artists, because most of the time it's just endlessly in their studio night and day. It's like making a movie about a writer. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be a drunk or a drug addict or something like that to give them some kind of subject matter, you know.
Well, that's just another reason why it's good to have you here in the flesh making music for us in this public setting over the airwaves. Terry Allen's our guest, and the new album comes out soon, right? Next week, maybe?
We just got a box of them a while ago. So
hook a brother up.
I think the 22nd is the actual date. That's in Texas, and then February 5th is supposed to be out of Texas.
And it's called Bottom of the World, and Terry Allen is our guest this morning on KUTX from Studio 1A.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to finish with a religious tune. Is that it? Do the dream of hell in heaven? Are they restless with their reward? Does God spend time with his angels, or does he show them no regard? Dream of hell in heaven? Do they regret how hard they tried? Wish now they'd been much more sinful than repented just a minute before they died. Dream of hell in heaven. before life on this earth was done. And the golden gates of forever close tight on all the fun. And the golden gates of forever close tight on all the fun.
Terry Allen, live on KUTX. Richard Bowden on fiddle and mandolin. Buck Allen on the accordion. Brian Standifer on the cello. And Sally Allen joined us for the middle song. My thanks to Cliff Hargrove, our man behind the curtain, for engineering. Thanks to y'all for coming out and joining us this morning. We appreciate it. And Terry will be at the Cactus tonight. Are you going to get to stay in town tomorrow night for those guys from West Texas, the Flatlanders? They're playing?
We've got to go to Houston Saturday. And we're playing in Houston Saturday, then San Antonio the following Friday, and then Dallas following Saturday, 26. We got a thing at Waterloo and in store on the 28th.
Oh, great.
And in San Marcos on the 22nd, an in store with Lone Star.
Well, sounds like so, we'll be seeing you back this way throughout the year, hopefully.
I hope so, too.
Good to see you again, Terry.
Good to see you all. Well, thank you.
Thank you for being here. That's Terry Allen, live on KUTX. And here's some music from another gentleman from West Texas.